Can everybody hear me? Am I switched on? No comment. Right, okay. That's better. I can hear myself now. Do you mind putting the reading back up, please, Angus? Thank you. I think it's probably good for you to see the reading as I go through what hopefully God wants me to tell you. The first part of the reading, as you can see, brothers and sisters, I could not address you with people. The thing is that Paul here is addressing the Corinthians, and he's basically saying that you're too busy with worldly things. Now, that must sound familiar to a lot of people here today. We are far too busy engrossed in a world that's far too hectic and far too busy. So he's right, Paul is right in saying that we do get distracted by the world. We do get distracted by everything that's around us. And I want you to think about that as we go through this sermon, because the distraction is the problem, right? Now, I know he goes on to talk about them being infants or men or whatever. And there are times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, for instance, Moses, when he wasn't sure what was happening and ran away and then tried to find himself and listen to the word of God. Or Job is probably the most famous one, when he ran away and he wanted to be with the world and not do what God wanted him to do. And we're all guilty of that, including myself. We're all guilty of that, including myself. But let's go to the second part of the reading, if I may. The second part of the reading, that's where the key is to me, because it talks about not necessarily following Apollos or following Paul, but it's about following God. That's what we're here to do. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? That's what we're here to do. We are Christians here to follow God. And the thing is, if we're caught up with the world and we just come to church on a Sunday and we just listen to what people are saying to us and then walk away and it doesn't register and we go back to doing exactly what we did before, I would suggest that we're not listening to God. And that's important, because finding time to listen to God is important. You and I will have differences. People have different opinions of things, have different ideas, what's right and what's wrong. And there's going to be a lot of that during the course of the next year as we get to grips with the fact that we've lost a vicar and now we're going to have to, in layman's term, vicar ourselves. We are going to become our own vicars with a focal ministry team at some point. That will happen. That's reality. Let go of the past. Right, because it's the future we need to look to. So in this passage, moving on, it tells us about we are working for God as the sowers and the waterers. The sowers and the waterers. Now that's important. That's really important. But what does that mean to us? Now, please do not switch off, because I'm going to say a word that puts fear into people. Evangelism. Right? This is our year of evangelism. And all of a sudden, you're all sat there with visions of somebody walking down Fargate with a placard saying the world is nigh, it's going to be end, please repent. Or visions of Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door saying you need to turn to us. It's not all about that. Evangelism comes in many, many different forms. So I'm going to concentrate on evangelism today, because it's important that we as a church think about this. If our evangelism is me preaching to you and then that's it, or Brian preaching to you, or Heather preaching to you, or Maureen leading a service and that's it, then you've lost the whole point. You've lost the whole point of evangelism. Everybody in this room is a sower of seeds. The sower of seeds is not the people who are sat at the side of you. You're not sowing seeds to them, because they're already here. Right? You are watering, perhaps, them by giving them extra spirit, extra advice, extra foresight into what a journey with God is like, a journey with Jesus, a journey with the Holy Spirit behind you, you are watering them. You're not necessarily sowing a seed with them. So let's go back to sowing the seed and then to the watering. A lot of people, a lot of the older evangelist things, a lot of they refer to the big Billy Graham things in the 60s and think, oh, wasn't it great and all that. Evangelism has moved on since those big events. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big event to be an evangelistic outreach. I mean, my mouth's getting dry, so that's why I'm probably struggling. Right? So it doesn't have to be a big event to be an evangelical outreach. That's important. Please remember that. We sang a song today. By this you are known that all you are my disciples. By this you are known that you are my disciples if you show love one for another. Yeah? Showing love for each other in this building, that's the easy part, because we're all Christians and that's easy. And oh yeah, we can sit and we can share love and one thing and another. Sharing love with people who've not heard the message of God, not heard the love of God, not heard the grace and the peace and everything that goes with it, and the forgiveness and the suffering and the sacrifice. Those people who have not yet heard that message, they're the ones that we need to reach. They're the ones, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples. How do we do this then? I'm not going to leave you abandoned with no thought and no idea. It just so happens, which is unfortunate for you, this is my semester's topic at college. So I'm going to go through a few ideas that I might sow seeds, because the year of evangelism seems to have got off to a slow start. And although you've probably been thinking about it and talking about it in your groups, I think it's important. I'll probably give you a little bit more of a push and impetus and thought process as to what you might do. Because you might be scared of the big event and the big preach or whatever. So let's have a look at some other different things that we can do. Right? A lot of evangelists refer to mission, because it's the mission of evangelisms. And they look at what they call the five marks of mission, and I'm sure the lay readers and evangelists will know exactly what I'm about to talk about. But the rest of you probably don't, and it's probably never really been explained to you. So this is what I'm going to do today. Right, there are five marks. Treasure, tend, transform, teach and tell. Right, let me break that down. You might decide that you want to do an evangelistic outreach around treasure. What does treasure mean? It's nothing to do with pirates. It's nothing to do with digging up architectural sites and finding something, gold coins in a field or something like that. It's actually probably the most relevant piece of God's mission at this moment in time. Because we're talking about global warming. We're talking about making the world a cleaner place, a better place. Now, if you've got a passion for global warming, for driving electric cars, for making sure that the streets are clean of all the broken glass and the dirt and the McDonald's things that have been chucked out of cars' windows and things like that, if you've got a passion for that, why don't you join a group that also has a passion for that? That might be a way into evangelism. By this all men know that you are my disciples. So you're doing something that God wants you to do. We are caretakers of this planet. We are here to look after the planet. And if we just watch a few people cleaning up and don't join in or don't engage with them, are we of man? So let's think about that. Do we want to join a clean up on the brook or a clean up in the park? Do we want to get involved in something like that? You don't necessarily have to do it as a church. You might, as an individual, might want to just join that group. And when you join that group and you start talking about the environment and the global warming and things like that, show by your example, as it says in the song, show by your example that you are a disciple. You don't necessarily have to go in straightway gung-ho and say, come on, I'm a Christian, you need to do everything I do. You could listen first. You could engage first. It could be a long process. It doesn't have to be the hare. It can be the tortoise. You can do it slowly, gradually. And the best way is if they don't even realise that they're being evangelised, because you're doing it so slowly in a way that they don't recognise it. And eventually, you could bring that person to God. The second is tend. Now, that's easy. A lot of people have got that. A lot of people have got that urgency and that need to tend people, that mothering instinct, that medical instinct to look after people, to share, to love, to go and help people. Your next door neighbour who's not well, go and do their shopping. A lot of people have got that. How many times do we use that as an opportunity to engage with them? To talk about our faith, to talk about what's troubling them. It could be a mental illness that's troubling them. What's troubling them? Can we bring them comfort from the Bible, but not necessarily quoting the Bible? So we could be quoting things or illustrations or subject matters without quoting verse. You know what I mean? So just gently saying, well, I know that if you do this, or I've heard that if you do this, or yeah, just a loving way of introducing it to that person. And when you keep coming out with things like, I know a way, or I know about a way, or I know somebody who might be able to help you, and things like that, sooner or later, there's a chance that some people may engage with you, and they may get involved with you, and then find out and ask more questions. But don't push the Bible straight away. It's important, because you need to be able to communicate with the person first. And I'm going to keep repeating that, because it's important. That's what we do. We have two ears and one mouth. Listen to what troubles the person first, and then introduce God gently. Transform. That's probably more me, if I'm honest, when I did a self-reflection. Transform is about people who hate injustices. Or absolutely can't stand injustice. And they see things happening that they just think, I need to do something about that. I need to step in. I need to stop that happening. Transforming evangelism is not easy. And it's certainly one that needs to take a very bold step. So if you don't feel like taking a bold step, it's probably not the it's probably not the one for you. But the big evangelists, the big evangelistic events, they're the transformers. They are the people. They're not the robots that turn into cars and things like that, but they are the transformers of people. They transform people. A big event can sometimes move people emotively to follow God. They are the big show people in some respect. Not always easy for people to do. But there are ways to do it quietly behind the scenes and change things quietly behind the scenes. You could join a committee to try and change things so that injustices don't stand out. When we talk about things like criticising and condemning, that's something that wants transforming. That's a bad thing that wants transforming. So by our example, by showing grace and peace and love, we transform. And being positive, praising people, we transform the negative of the criticise and condemn into the praise and thanks, and transforms people's perception of what God wants. And God wants us to be loving, peaceful, graceful people. He doesn't want us shouting at people saying, you're not doing that right. That's not the way. Teach. Now then, I'm sure all of you at some point will have been to school, and all of you, you'll probably remember your favourite teacher. The thing is with teachers, they can leave a lasting impression on you, a very long lasting impression on you. And you'll, even when you're in your 70s and 80s, you'll think back to that teacher and remember that teacher and what an impact that teacher had on your life. But what about the teachers of the Bible? We're all teachers of the Bible, one way or another. Whether we liked it, we don't all stand up here, but we all teach. We all quote things. We all read. How many in this room have basically said, I've taught my child everything they know. but they still don't want to come to church. But that's their choice, and that's what, because God gives us a choice. But we all teach. We can learn anything at any time. Anything at any time. So teaching evangelism is very, very strong. It's very strong. It should be strong in all of us. If we're all reading our Bible and we're all listening to what people say to us and we're all learning as we go along in our Christian journey, we're all going to be teachers, because all we have to do is go out there and pass that on. Now, it's not much point teaching to a person who sat beside you this morning, did you hear that sermon about teaching? Because they've heard that sermon about teaching, so you don't have to teach them. What you need to do is teach somebody else. Now, you might want to teach a family member today, or you might want to teach somebody who's not been in church today, or you might want to teach a total stranger on a bus that you sat next to. And you just might want to say, I heard something the other day that really blew my mind. What do you think? And let you engage in conversation with them. And the last one is tell. Just like I'm doing now. Telling. Teaching and telling fits together like a hand in a glove. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, is what the message says in one song. Now, if we sit here and we don't go and teach and tell, then we are children. We are men, just as the scripture says. We are getting caught up in the world of men. We are all called to evangelize. This scripture tells us today we are all sowers and we are all waterers. We are all called to evangelize. Not one of you is exempt. Right? There's no pass, there's no free pass. All of you have been requested by God. I've gone off. Hello, all right, I'll shout louder. All of us are requested by God to do that, is to go out and evangelize. If you want to switch lectern on, you might hear me then. Right? So don't be afraid, whatever, of going out. Why do I say do not be afraid? Right, it also tells you that it's of God. Whatever you do is of God. If God wants it to happen, it will happen. You can resist it, or the people who you're talking to can resist it as much as they like, but God will get them in the end. Just like the mountie always gets his man, so does God. So, you're all called to evangelize. I've given you some ideas of what you can do and how you want to do it. The important thing is, you don't have to be the big all singing, all dancing. You can be the quiet listener who patiently goes in. The hare and the tortoise. You might feel a lot more comfortable being a tortoise than you are a hare. It's not for everybody to be a hare, to run at it, gung-ho, and try and get results quickly. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. But don't worry, because the big thing is that you are not alone. Everyone in this church is a support mechanism. Everything that says in the Bible is a support mechanism. Everything you do and upholster in prayer is a support mechanism. You are all called to evangelize, and you have plenty of support. And God is there for you, so you can sow the seeds and you can water. And the watering might take a long time. I'm watering today, just by standing in front of you today, giving you a different message that maybe you've heard some of it before, maybe you haven't. But I'm called to water. Now I sit in there and I listen to other people preach, and they're watering me. Even after 58 years, they're still watering me. So the watering process can take a long time. Sowing the seeds can take a long time. The parable of the sower says you're not always going to win. Some are going to fall on hard ground. Some are going to fall on rocky ground. Some are going to get strangled in weeds, i.e. the society and the world of men. And some will grow up quickly and some will grow up slowly. That's the watering process. We're all called to evangelism and we all need to do it. And that's one thing we all need to get on board with while we're in this transformation period of from vicar to focal ministry team. Let's get behind the year of evangelism. Let's start doing and engaging. We can all start the tortoise bit. That's not a problem. Because if in 1 year's time, through the tortoise procedure of evangelism, there are three or four more people in church in seats, then that's a success for God. Preferably, I'd prefer it to be completely full, but that's another matter. But we have to do what we can. We're all called to do it. So with the help, the grace, the peace, and the love of God, by this, all men will know that you are his disciples, because you have love one for another, not just for yourselves, for all those out there who need to hear the word of God. Amen.